We are going to learn Daf Samaches in Masechtas Nedarim. We're going to start right from the beginning of Devei Rabbi Yishmael Tana, which, by the way, just by an aside, it's interesting that in Nedarim we say Devei Rabbi Yishmael Tana, and all other Masechtas we say Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael. We say it the other way around. It's a classic Nedarim type of writing. In any event, what are we to lead up to this Gemara? The Gemara had a very simple question. How do we know the halacha that the Mishnah teaches us that when a girl, a naira, mu'urasa, that both the father and the husband need to be matar the neder? So far the Gemara has told us two things. One, on Amar Ansamach Zayin Amar Aleph, the Gemara told us that simply because there are three psukim in the Torah, and the first pasuk is talking about when she's at her father's house. The last pasuk is talking about when she's in her husband's house. So the middle pasuk is talking about when she's engaged. So now that we know that middle pasuk is when engaged, and therefore it's a little bit of the father, a little bit of the husband. Okay, so therefore both of them have to be mater. The second ibayseim on the top of Samach Zayin Amud Beis, the Gemara told us a little bit more of a explanation, and the Gemara said, it's true that there are three psukim, and the Gemara goes back and forth about maybe the second pasuk is telling us that it's really all the father. And so that can't be, because if the father can still be matir when she's engaged, then why do I need a pasuk when she's single? Mm-hmm. Then the Gemara goes the other way around. Maybe it's all the husband that when they're engaged. So that can't be, because if the husband already has the power when they're engaged, what do I need a pasuk for when they're fully married? Because he already has the power from when they're engaged. Mm-hmm. Okay, so based on that, the Gemara says, oh, must be that the middle pasuk is a little bit of this, a little bit of that. It's both the father and the husband. And then the Gemara also at the end on Samach Zayin throws in this idea that the difference between being engaged and being married is that after they're married, there is no concept of koidmin, meaning those nedarim that she took before the marriage, there's nothing the husband can do about it after they're married. Versus if a neder that she made before they got engaged, the husband does have the power to be mater. Why? Because the father had the power to be mater. And since the father has, and the father and the husband, so to speak, work together, they work as a team, and since the father has the power to be mater from nedarim that existed before the engagement, so too the husband also latches on to that power, and he also can be mater, even those nedarim that pre-existed before they got engaged. That is the end of the Gemara. So far the Gemara has given us two approaches to understand how we know this idea that the father and the husband both have the rights to be mater when a girl, a naira mu'urasa. The Gemara at the top of Samaches now, which we're going to pick up with, is going to continue with another drasha of how we know both the father and the husband, or the chosin, I should say, have the power to be mater when she's engaged. So, starting from the top of the Amud Devei Rabbi Yishmael Tana, in the yeshiva of Rabbi Yishmael, they taught us as follows. Ben ish le'ishtoi, ben av le'bita. This is a pasuk all the way at the end of the parsha of Nedarim in Parshas Matos. So this is, I think, either the last pasuk or the second to last pasuk. The pasuk says like this: Ben ish le'ishtoi, when you have a matter between a husband and wife, ben av le'bita, and that matter also is between the father and the daughter. So that's the pasuk. Mikan, so the Gemara darshins, from here we learn le'naira hamurasa, that when you have a girl who's engaged, that since the pasuk compares the relationship between the husband and wife and the relationship between the father and the daughter, and that parsha is after the parsha of, or the concepts of, a father being matir, and after the concept of the husband being matir, it has all of those factors, you mix them together, and the Gemara compares all of them, so it must be that they both have the power, to be mafer. Now, when I say they both have the power, it's not just that they both have fully the power. Don't forget, the halacha in the Mishnah is we need both of them to be matir. It's not that they each have individually the power, they collectively have the power. The pasuk is putting them together to say that you need both of them in order to be matir. So this is a new drasha, a whole new pasuk. Until now, on Samach Zayin, all the drashas were relying on the middle pasuk. It says, Veheni Aviha, right, so we were relying on the pasuk. What was the pasuk? The pasuk was Right, that was the pasuk that we were relying. This is a whole new pasuk that we're using to darshan the same, but we're coming to the same conclusion. So therefore, we have an extra pasuk. The Gemara asks, "What Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael?" So the, according to the Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael, "How you see the ish my other lay?" So what does he need that other pasuk? The other pasuk that we just spent a whole daf on Sal of Zion using to prove exactly the same concept. He doesn't need that pasuk anymore because he learns it from this Ben Ish Leishtai pasuk. He has a different pasuk to teach us the same thing. So obviously he doesn't need the pasuk in Hayosia to teach us this halacha. The Gemara asks, "L'tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael im Hayosia Leish my Avidle." What does he do with that pasuk that we've been using till now? That becomes an extra pasuk. It's superfluous because he doesn't need it because he has this pasuk at the end that teaches us the same thing. So the Gemara says
he needs that other question.
The Gemara says Mukim lo leiduch de Rabba. They changed the girsa to Rabba instead of Rabba. Okay, the Ran changes the girsa to Rabba. Okay, so what's Rabba's drasha? Rabba has a very interesting case. Rabba's case is, we already established a moment ago that there's that a husband cannot be mater koidmin. Koidmin, remember, means that a neder that she had pre-existing before the marriage. So what if in the following scenario, if let's say she was married, she made the neder, so they were married when she made the neder, they got divorced, and then sometime later they got remarried. So now, technically, on the one hand, it's a koidmin for this existing marriage. On the other hand, it's not really a koidmin for him because he was around when she made this nether. So is that considered koidmin or not considered koidmin? The fact that they were married at the time she made the nether. So it didn't pre-exist his existence, it pre-existed this particular marriage. To which Rabba himself says, Rabba's chiddush is that is also considered koidmin, and therefore, and he darshans this pasuk b'im hayasilish. No, only what exists during this marriage. So the fact that they happen to be together beforehand is not going to help you, and that's considered koidmin. So Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael uses this pasuk of b'im hayasiya for that drasha. But of course, now we have the other way around. So if we need this pasuk of b'im hayasiya v'rabba, again, I'm changing the girsa to Rabba instead of Rabba. Hi, the Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael, my Avid Leit. What does he do with his pasuk? Because according to Rabba, the way the Ran learns, he learns both of those things from Hayasiya. So what does he need with the pasuk Ben Ishla Ishtai for? What does he do with the pasuk? My answer is Miboyle Loimer Shahabal Mefer Nedarim Shebeinoy Leveino. Okay, so this is a whole new concept, it means that the husband can only, this is a limitation actually, till now we've been using the psukim as an inclusion, this is an exclusion, that to tell us that a husband can only be made for those nedarim that are relevant to the husband, that impact their marriage. If it doesn't impact their marriage, then the husband can't be materit. So I make up my own mashalim. So the mashal that I'll give is, if let's say she makes a neder that she's not going to wear rings on her left finger, she's only going to wear rings on her right finger. So it doesn't make a difference to the husband. It makes no difference. That's her life. Whatever she does, it should. I mean, for most normal guys, it shouldn't make a difference which side she wears her rings on. So that is not a neder. That is not a neder that the husband could be made for because it has no impact on him whatsoever. Okay? And that we need to know. So theoretically, we could have said that he is able to be mater all nedarim. So we have a pasuk that says, no, it has to impact, siya la'ish, it has to have an impact on him. So if it has an impact on him, so then he's able to be mater. So this is a sugya we're going to get to much later. On Daf Pe'alf, I believe, the Gemara is going to go through the sugya of what's considered Beinoi Lebeino, how extreme does it have to be, or how closely related does it have to be in order to be Mater. In any event, I'll just note over here, just as a note, that there's a Machlekes Rishonim, whether that concept applies to the father as well. Clearly the Gemara says that for the husband, it has to be a neder that impacts him. So now that we've just spent the last blot and a half discussing whether the husband and the father are really the same, have some of the overlapping attributes, so machlokes rishonim whether or not that business of being beinoi lebeino applies to the father as well. Are we now comparing everything about what they can do in both directions. That if the husband is limited to Beinoi Lebeinu, then the father is limited to Beinoi Lebeinu, like what impacts the father. And this is, by the way, most Rishonim hold that that's the case. Just so that you know. Most Rishonim hold that it also, the father also has that limitation. So there's some Rishonim, like the Rambam, that says that that's not true, that a father could be mater all nedarim, and it makes no difference whatsoever what the neder is. It doesn't matter to the father. The fact is that the father can control, can be mater and neder. Okay, this is Machlekes Rishonim. That's the end of that sugya. So just to sum up, we have three different ways to understand or to know, to derive the fact that both the husband and the father have to be mater. One is simply because there are three psukim in the middle. Pasuk is talking about Nayim Marasa. The second is because the logic, it can't be a little bit of the, it can't, it, the pasuk wouldn't be teaching us anything if the father could be mater only during engagement, or if the husband could be mater during the engagement. And the last one is this new pasuk of Ben Ishla Ishta, that we make a hekesh to the father and the husband, that they work jointly together, and that's what makes them be mater. Okay. So now that we've established that that's the fact, again, it was a Mishnah, but here's the Gemara was proving for us to understand how the Mishnah knew that this was the halacha. So now we have to figure out, so how does it work? So the Gemara asks this question, a very simple one-liner, Iba Ilhu, Baal Megas Gaiz, a Miklash Kolish. These words sound very simple, which is, when a husband, now it doesn't, by the way, we use the husband as the example over here, but it does not have to be the husband. It means one of them, either the husband or the father. But the Gemara uses the husband, we're going to use the husband. When the husband is mater the neder, when the husband is mefer the neder, so what exactly does he do? What's the mechanics of what happened? Because you need both of them. So until the second one comes in, the neder certainly didn't go away. So what is the status of the neder during that interim period before the second, or the father, let's say, before the father jumps in as also mefer? So the two choices are, and by the way, he definitely does something. It's definitely something. It's not like early voting where you've done nothing until all the votes are counted. He's done something.
It means had an effect, immediate effect.
It has an immediate effect, exactly. So Megas Gaiz means that you actually chop from the shearing or cutting, right? So you actually chop off, as the Ran says, you chopped off half the neder. Half the neder is gone. So in the Ran's example, we'll see what the example in the Gemara is and we'll explain. It means you actually cut the neder in half. Whatever it is. Miklash Kolish, on the other hand, means you made it weaker. And that's what the word Kolish means. Kolish means weaker. That's what the word means. So you took the neder, and you make it into a weaker state. So the weaker state, as the Ran explains, and we'll explain it in the Gemara in a moment, is that the neder is no longer, if you violate the neder, you no longer get Malkus. Normally you would get Malkus for violating a neder. Now we reduced the impact of the neder so that it won't be on the level of Malkus. It'll still be Usser, because at the end of the day, the neder, we didn't get rid of the neder yet. So it's still Usser. But it's not gonna be strong to be able to be to get Malkus. Alright, so the Gemara itself is gonna ask, what's an example? Heichi kami ba'ilav. What would be a case of our question? So the Gemara says, kagoin to nodra mitrain zaysin. She made a neder from two olives, meaning she said like this, if I do X, Y, and Z, these two olives should be asur to me. The Shama Arus Vehefila. And then the husband heard and said, nope, I'm mefer, it's not a neder. Now, the father hasn't yet heard about this. V'achlasun. And she went ahead and ate the neder. So after the husband was mater, but before the father was. So now, I amrs megas gayez, if it's he cut it in half, lakayim, she's still going to get malchus. Why? Because even if he cut it in half, remember we started with two olives. Now one of the olives is usser. So as the Ran says, in the case has to be that she went ahead and ate both of them, because we don't know which one he got rid of. But she ate both of them. So she definitely did exactly what she's not allowed to do. One of them is definitely usser, so she's going to get malchus. However, I amrina miklash kolish, but if you say the whole thing became weaker, isura ba'alma hu, then it's just an isser because the whole thing was reduced. It's no longer on the intensity of the level that it started in the beginning. The whole thing is weaker. So what's the halacha over here? And as we said, the Ran explains that we were talking about a case where there were two olives, because he wants to make it that even when you cut it in half, there's still a shear of an olive. There's still enough that if she eats it, it's going to be usher. Just as an aside, an interesting point, the Kli Nashas asks the Kasha and says, by Nedarim, there's no shear of an olive by Nedarim. By Nedarim, there's no Kazayas. It's not Nedarim isn't necessarily eating. I mean, we usually use the mashal of eating, but it has nothing to do with eating. So the Rav Kiva Eger is a tzarch iyun. Why we're talking about olives over here? It has to do with value. It has nothing to do with the shear of a zayas. Okay. In any event, the point, we still get the point. The point is that you're left with a full half is intact, versus the whole thing just becomes this weaker concept. So, what's the halacha? Toshamasa, we're going to bring a raya. Now, this raya goes all the way till Samach Tes Amad Aleph. So, we're going to go to the, like, four or five lines onto Samach Tes Amad Aleph. That sounds like a lot, but the truth of the matter is Samach Tes Amad Aleph is only about six, 7 lines. So, it's not that much. But it takes the rest of the blot to get to the point. So, Toshama. Amosai Amru. Okay, so Amosai Amru Meis Habal Nisroikna Rishus La'av. So this is a new concept that the Bryce over here is introducing. There's a concept of Nisroikna. Nisroikna literally translated means it pours. So when you take, let's say, one cup of water and you pour it into another cup of water, so even though the original cup was empty, now that you poured it in, now it's full, now it has the content that was originally attributed to something else. So the same thing is true by Nisroikna. We take the powers that the husband originally had and it pours to the father, and he, so to speak, gives his power over to the father in a case where he dies. Let's see. So the Braisa will explain. Amosai Amru Meis Habal Nisroikna Rishus La'av. When do we say that if the husband dies, that his power pours over to the father, or as they're going to use the word also yoirish, that the father yarshins his son-in-law's power. Okay, so bizman shaloishoma habal koidim sheyamos. It has to be a case where the husband had not yet heard the neder. So they were engaged. She made a neder while they were engaged, but the husband just didn't hear it yet, and he died. Or even if he did hear it, but he kept quiet. Now it has to be, all of this is taking place in the day that if he heard the neder already, it has to be that it took place in the day he died, in the day that he heard the neder, because as we'll learn later, you only have a 24-hour period to be mata the neder. So if you want to keep that to be made for the neder, if you want to keep that power alive, you have to be within 24 hours. Okay, so that's the case over here. Shoshama v'shasak, he heard it and he kept quiet. Oy shoshama v'hefer, or even if he went ahead and he was actually mefer, umes boy v'yoyim, as the Bryce itself says, and then he dies, that all of this happens that day. Zui shoshanino mes habal nisreikna rishos la'av. That's the case where we learn the idea that when the husband dies, he pours over that power, he gives over that power to the father. What does that mean? So this, of course, like everything else, the machlokes rishonim. But what that means is that the father will now have the full power to be mefer. Meaning, again, I'm going to keep it simple. Meaning, the father could be mefer. Obviously, he still has the power to be mefer for himself, and he could be mefer for the husband. So this is the machlekes rishonim. So the way the Ran learns, and again many rishonim learn, is that the hafara, even if, because one of the cases here is that the husband already did the hafara, that even the hafara that the husband did once he dies, for whatever reason, dissipates. It doesn't apply anymore. But the point is that the father now inherits that power. So the father could then go ahead and be mefer for the husband. There's this idea, the way the Ran and these Rishonim learn, is that the hafara has to be done together. There has to be a connection. And once the husband dies, the hafara of the husband no longer exists. So, but on the other hand, as the Ran himself very clearly says, we know that the husband wanted to be mefer, because he was mefer, so we know that that's his intent. So we know that the possibility of being mefer is still alive. But at the same time, in order for the hafara to work, the connection between the father and the husband, you need to do, the father has to be mefer for his own right, and he has to be mefer for the husband's right, and that's what makes the connection between the two, and then that's how he's mater, he's mefer for both the husband and the father. Okay, so that's the concept, that's really the important, I mean, all of this is important, but that's really the chiddush over here. On the flip side, now we're on the top of Samaches Amabes. The Gemara now says, Aval, let's say the other way around. Im shoma v'kayem. Okay, so before we get to, still we're talking about the husband. So if the husband heard the neder and he fulfilled the neder, oyish shoma v'shasak, or he heard it and he kept quiet, umeis b'yoyim shela achrav, and he only died the day later, which means that he had the full time to be mater and he at mefer and he didn't. These are really basic halachas. He had the opportunity and he didn't, like any other time. Let's say if he was still alive, he would no longer have the opportunity to be mefer anymore because it's too late. In that case, ein yachol lahefer. Then the obviously the husband is not able to be mefer anymore because he again was either mekayim it or let's say he deemed mekayim. So once it's deemed to kiyum, then there's nothing for the father to get anymore. Even if the husband dies, there's nothing for the father to get. The neder is in place. The neder is good. Okay, so therefore the father will not get that case. Now, the third case that we have in the Brisa is the flip side. The flip side is shoma avia v'hefer. What if it was the other way around, where the father was the one that heard the neder first? And in fact, he went ahead and he was mefer. And the father and the husband did not have a chance to hear the neder or be made for it before the father already died. So right now, in other words, the father was made for, so I know what the father wanted, but he died. And as we said before, when you die, the hafara goes away, so you need someone else to reestablish it. Here, zuhi shoshaninu, this is the halacha that we learned, meis ha'av loynis reikna rishos libal. That does not get transferred over to the husband. So, for whatever reason, which we're not going to get into right now, but that is the halacha, that when the husband dies, his powers do transfer back to the father. Whereas when the father dies, it does not transfer to the husband. And this is actually based on a drasha later, that this is the halacha. That's the bottom line. So therefore, over here, even if the father was mefer, it's not gonna transfer over. It's too late for the husband to be mefer, because he can't. Because he cannot redo what the father did. Okay? So therefore, she's stuck, and that neder is going to be chal. Then the Braisa continues and makes it even clearer. Shoma bailo v'hefer lo. So this is a little bit of a repetition, but there's a chiddush over here as well. Shoma bailo v'hefer lo. If the husband heard the neder and he was mefer, v'lo hispik ha'av l'shmoya ad shemes habal. So this sounds similar to the same case we said before, that the husband was the one who was mefer, but then the husband died. Zui shoshaninu meis habal nesreik nereshus la'av. That's the regular case, where since the husband was already mefer and then he died, he's able to transfer that power over to the father, and the father is able to redo the hafara, and now the father, as we said before, the father will be mefer for himself, and he inherits the husband's ability to be mefer because it has to be redone, and the father will be mefer the whole thing. Shoma, okay, that's the first case, or what now would be considered the fourth case. What about Shama Bailo the Heferlo? What about if the husband heard it and he was mefer? V'loy hispik ha'av l'shmoya ad shemes. But what about the other way around, where the father is the one that died? So again, the husband already was mefer, and now the father died. Ein habal yochel lehefer. The husband will not be able to mefer. She'ein habal mefer ela b'shutfus. The husband always needs it. Again, obviously, when we're talking about when they're engaged, the husband always needs the party, the partnership with the father in order to be mefer. Okay, so the way the Ran learns is that the chiddush of this brisa is that even though the husband already weakened the neder to be not a real neder anymore, And so there's only, so to speak, a little bit left for the father to do. Even that's not, the husband still can't take over. Still can't take over and be mefer. Whereas the other way around, where the husband was the one who was matir, who was mefer, so again it becomes excuse the expression, but becomes a weaker neder. There's something missing from the neder. That, so you would think that the same thing would be true for the father, that there's not enough for the father to be mefer. That's the chiddush of the braisa, that the father, even though it's only a little bit, the father still has his own power, plus he can take over that little bit from the husband and be mefer. So those are the two extremes. All of this, by the way, so far, was not yet the raya that the Gemara wants to bring. So that takes us really to the bottom of Samach Ches Amud Beis, but we're going to continue reading a few more lines on Samach Tes Amud Aleph, because this is the sugya, this is the point of the Gemara. So the Gemara, it's we're going to read about five lines on Samach Tes. So the Gemara continues. The next case. Shoma Avia V'Hefer Lo. So what about the other? Until now we've been talking about that it was the husband that heard the neder and was mefer, and either the husband died or the father died. That was the differentiation between the last two cases that we learned. Now let's not talk about the husband dying. Here we're going to talk about the father was the one who heard the neder. So here's where the Gemara brings the raya. Shoma via the hefer law. If the father was the one that heard the neder and he was already mefer, and the husband didn't have a chance to hear the neder, and he died, meaning the husband died. The husband died, so again, the father already did what he was supposed to do. So the halacha of the braisa is, the father could go and be mefer the portion of the husband. Remember, the father heard his portion, already took care of his portion, so he already made it a weaker thing. And even so, since the father, he takes over the power of the husband, and he's able to be mater. However, okay, so here's finally the point. Amar Rav Nosson, so Rav Nosson says about this, Hein divrei bei shamai. This is only everything that again, machlokes rishonim. This is the words of bei shamai. So many rishonim learned that it's referring to this last case is only according to bei shamai. And there are those that learn that hein divrei bei shamai is the whole braisa was going according to bei shamai. And Beis Hillel, I remember Beis Hillel argues and says, Ein yachol lehefer. And he says, no. According to Beis Hillel, in that case where the father heard, and now the husband died, the father cannot be mefer anymore. Okay, so finally the Gemara says, Shema Mina. So it turns out that this question of whether we say Megas Gaiz or Miklash Kolish is a machloikis. Shema Mina, le Beis Shammai Megas Gaiz. According to Beis Shammai, it's Megas Gaiz, and we'll explain in a moment. Le Beis Hillel, Miklash Kolish. And according to Beis Hillel, it's because it's weaker. Shema Mina, and the Gemara says, you're right, that's the bottom line. So it turns out this whole question that we had initially, whether it's chopping in half, or just weakening the entire type of nether, is a machlekes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Now, where do you see where it's what? So, the easier one is to understand, I believe Beis Hillel Shita is easier, at least for me, to understand where we're coming from. Because the last case was that the father heard about it, and the husband didn't hear anything. The husband didn't hear anything, and he died. And there, Beis Hillel says, the father can't be mater. Why can't the father be mater? Why can't the father be mater? He did everything he's supposed to do, plus he gets the husband's power. So, and still Beis Hillel says that he can't, it's too little. Right. So it must be because the way Beis Hillel understands it is that when the father was mefer, he made the neder so weak that there's nothing really left. So he's not really getting anything from the husband. But now it's interesting. It comes out that if the father had said nothing,
that's a weakness thing.
Correct. If the father had said nothing, so then the neder would still be full intact. The father does have the power to take the husband. The Beis Hillel doesn't argue on the concept. Again, this is machlokes rishonim. But according to the Ran, the Beis Hillel doesn't argue on the concept that the father takes over from the husband. That's that concept, let's say we agree with. That Beis Hillel agrees with that concept. So if the father had said nothing and he hadn't impacted the neder yet and the husband died, so then the husband would be giving over a full power to the father. The father would have his own power, and he would have his husband's power. No problem. He could be mefer. But because he weakened it to the point where the husband's not really doing that much anymore, and I'm getting it, so to speak, secondhand, because I'm only getting it as a Yerusha, it's too little, too late. So that's why. So that's the raya that Beis Hillel holds. Miklash Kalish, it's not strong enough. There's nothing here for the father really to latch onto because he already made it too. He left over too little for the husband to give to him. Whereas Beis Shammai says no. What happened was, yes, the father did what he did. Okay, so that takes care of the father's chelik. But there's a whole other part of this. There's a whole other chelik that the husband still has, and there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with that chelik. So when the husband dies, we all know, again, we're not disagreeing with the concept that when the husband dies, he gives it to the father. So what is he giving to the father? He's giving the father a whole half. He's giving him the entire half, a strong half. So therefore, strong half, no problem. I could do what I could do for myself, and I could do what I could do for you. Because you're giving me something. Mm-hmm. So if you're giving me something, I could work with it. So that's the machloikis between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai says, you're giving me something, in the case where the father is the one yarshining, he's getting something, so he could work with that. He can. Whereas Beis Hillel is saying, yes, you're giving me something, but you're giving me a weakened state, you're giving me a floppy whatever. It's not strong enough for me to work with it. So therefore, the husband, what the husband theoretically could have done for himself, okay, but the second hand to then give it to the father is not going to be able to be matur. So that is Shema Mina. That's where the Gemara ends, and the Gemara says that that's the machleik. It's a machleikus between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. I just want to mention, as we said before, this machleikus Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. The Ran learns that it's specific on this case, that they only argue in this case. They don't argue with all the other cases that we learned on Samaches. The other Rishonim learn that no, once Beis Hillel argues over here, he argues on all the cases over there, which we're not going to get into, but just so that you know that Beis Hillel might disagree with all, will have a different outcome than this entire Brisa from before. Okay, we'll stop over here.